Welcome to the documentary from the BBC World Service, where we report the world, however difficult the issue, however hard to reach. Podcasts from the BBC World Service are supported by advertising.
This podcast is brought to you by Wise, the app that makes using different currencies easy. With Wise, you can send and spend money worldwide at the real-time mid-market exchange rate. There are no hidden fees either. See exactly what you'll pay up front, every time. Join 16 million customers already saving with Wise. To learn how Wise could work for you, download the app or visit wise.com.
Studien belegen, dass PodcasthörerInnen schlauer sind als andere Menschen. Okay, das habe ich mir ausgedacht. Aber genau so funktionieren falsche Informationen. Sie sind verführerisch, weil sie das eigene Weltbild untermauern. Und am Ende glaubt jeder nur noch an seine eigene Wahrheit. Das macht Falschinformationen zur größten Gefahr für den gesellschaftlichen Zusammenhalt. Lasst uns hinterfragen, was wir teilen. Gemeinsam gegen Hass im Netz. Telekom.
Thanks for choosing to listen to Assignment on the documentary podcast from the BBC World Service. A few years ago, I was a correspondent based in Jerusalem, and I've been coming back ever since. In this programme, I'm focused on Jerusalem's Old City, where one community says it's facing an existential crisis after a controversial land sale in the Armenian Quarter. There are allegations of dodgy deals, violence and corruption. This is what me and my producer John Murphy found. Welcome to the documentary from the BBC World Service. It's early Sunday morning and the Manoogian family are running late for church.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm Emily.
I'm Nara.
Nara. Hi, Nara.
Nara. Very nice to meet you.
Yeah, nice to meet you. And
pleasure.
Who's this? This is my daughter, Laurie.
Yeah.
Hi, Laurie. How old are you?
10.
We're in the southwest corner of the Old City of Jerusalem, in a car park, right next to the ramparts of the Old City walls.
And I can see that you're holding two plastic cars here. You brought a London cab, especially to our meeting. Thank you for that.
He loves it. My name is Christian.
But as we're about to hear, this isn't any old car park, and its existence is now in jeopardy.
How important is this car park? I mean, it looks like it's just a car park.
It is more than an important for our existence, even. Mm-hmm. It's in the heart of the Armenian community and the convent. And we have been here for decades, parking here and using it for the benefit of our activities with church, clubs, or other sports events or party events.
Yes, because our children go to school here. We need this space. We need this space as a family. And historically, this land was initially bought by the patriarch Andreas. It happened back in 16th century. When he bought this land, he registered the land as a waqf, which is like a trust. And under the law of this trust, this land cannot be sold and it cannot be leased, especially without the consent of the Armenian community. And there is no consent.
And if this piece of land was to be taken away from the community, what would that mean?
I mean, we lost the Armenian quarter.
It's that serious?
It is.
Yeah, we feel that it will threaten the life of our community here.
So I'm conscious we're out in the very hot weather. So where are you guys going now?
Holy Sepulchre today.
Okay. Oh, is it?
Yes.
At the Holy Sepulchre Church today?
Yes,
the Mass?
Yes.
Well,
yes.
Then we have to walk.
Yes.
We have to walk like that.
The car park we're in is also known as the Cow's Garden because cattle used to graze here. Today, it's prime real estate in perhaps one of the most contested pieces of land in the world.
Whoa!
Recently, it's been the scene of clashes over who controls it, both on the concrete and in the courts, following a disputed land sale. I'm Emily Wither, and in this week's assignment, we're delving into a story which involves a defrocked priest, accusations of trickery, and what an ancient community says is a fight for its survival. We're up on a rooftop overlooking the old city. The golden dome of the Rock dominates a skyline that's shaped by minarets, churches and stone towers. It's a tiny space, only 1 kilometer in length and 1 kilometer wide. And it's roughly divided into four parts. In the top left, you have the Christian quarter. Next to it, the Muslim quarter. And below that, in the bottom right, the Jewish quarter. And then in the bottom left-hand corner, you have the highest point of the old city, which is where you'll find the Armenian quarter. And it's within these old city walls you'll find some of the most sacred sites for Jews, Christians, and Muslims. Armenians are Christians and can trace their presence in Jerusalem to the 4th century. Another surge in their population here happened after the 1915 Armenian massacre during the Ottoman Empire. We've come just outside the city walls, near the main entrance to the Muslim quarter, the Damascus Gate.
Wow, absolutely beautiful, stunning Armenian ceramics. Very intricately painted tiles, bright colours. Hello!
Hi!
His hair tied back in a bun, Setrag Balian, who's in his late 20s, has hands wet with what looks like white paint.
It's glaze, ceramic glaze.
Sent from Turkey by the British to repair the tiles of Jerusalem's Dome of the Rock, Setrag's great-grandfather set up the family ceramics business here in 1922. They've faced everything from wars to uprisings since. After the October 7th attack, Setrag says the company experienced an 80% drop in visiting customers.
Has it ever felt like this before?
We've always had tense moments, but nothing like this. I mean, it's becoming unlivable, to be honest. It's like you're being strangled all the time. The extremists keep rising, especially today with the current Israeli government. A lot of people who were otherwise fringe groups are today represented in government and have a lot of decision-making. And it makes it difficult for the minorities and for everybody who's caught in the middle, kind of.
Among the brushes and pots of colourful paint, Setrag says that attacks by Jewish extremists on the Christian community have become more coordinated.
They spit on our priests, urinating on the convent walls. My friend was pepper sprayed, you know. My other friend was beaten by the police, although we were the ones that were being attacked. So it's all these incidents together combined that give you a broader feeling of insecurity and discrimination.
But these days, Setrag is spending less time in the family ceramic studio and more time back in the cow's garden.
So the barricaded cow's garden, which is how we call it now. As you see on our right, there's a barricade.
If you can ignore the incongruous barrier across the middle of the car park, the ground itself isn't much to look at, an expanse of tarmac with cars on it. Though the land in dispute also includes the hall of the Armenian Seminary, some gardens and five houses. Last year, the facts began to emerge of a secret deal signed by the Armenian Patriarch. It handed a 98-year lease of this territory, amounting to up to 25% of the Armenian quarter, to a newly created company registered in Dubai called Zana Gardens. It's headed up by a Jewish developer of Israeli-Australian nationality. There was outrage. Jordan and the Palestinian Authority withdrew their official recognition of the patriarch in protest. And after members of the community, like Setrag, challenged the deal, the patriarch claimed he was tricked.
Okay, so this is the barrier that was erected in mid-November in order to protect us from the bulldozers and from the different attacks and to protect the community and the church.
It's just heaps of barbed wire, twisted metal, and there's Armenian flags.
Yes.
All the way down the barricade.
At least it will give us time to prepare and to mobilize the community to stand physically in front of the attackers and the bulldozers and the machinery and whatever they bring.
Last October, the patriarch announced a move to cancel the controversial deal. Soon after, bulldozers arrived at the site to begin demolition, but Armenians rushed to block them. There were accusations of intimidation as the developers turned up with armed men, some of them known Jewish settlers. Attacks on the Armenian community have continued since. The most violent was last December.
You know, we have a WhatsApp group, and whenever there's an incident, we send alerts. Everybody knows red alert means everybody come to the parking lot. And the red alert gets you about 100, 150 people in about 10 minutes, because most people live here. And so we came running. I saw stones. The barricades were destroyed partly. The police was standing there. It was a group of 15 thugs, you know, on one side, the Armenians on the other side. Some were injured, had blood coming out of their, like, foreheads. It was a sorry sight, especially when I heard that the police took 30 minutes for the police to arrive, although they're 3 minutes away. How did these cars, with like five guys in five cars, you know, it's very suspicious. Usually they're stopped.
Were they armed?
They were armed with knives and pepper sprays and electric saws and batons and wooden and metal rods.
Like others, Setrag cast doubt on the developer's claim. They want to build a luxury hotel in the Cow's Garden. They believe the real intent is to move in Jewish settlers, as has happened elsewhere in the old city. But the anger isn't directed just against the developers. Many are furious that the Armenian patriarch signed over the land in the first place and without the consent of the Holy Synod and the General Assembly. When he fled to the airport, the by now defrocked Armenian priest who cut the deal needed police protection as he ran the gauntlet of angry members of the community. They spat at him and chanted, "Traitor!" He's now in America, where he's protested his innocence, saying claims of an Israeli takeover of the Armenian quarter are propaganda.
This land doesn't belong to them. It belongs to the Armenians in Jerusalem, to the whole people.
Hopik Jordan lives just outside the convent walls. She can trace her family history in the Armenian quarter back 250 years. She doesn't believe the patriarch when he says he wasn't even shown a map of the development.
If he did not sign on that paper, nobody has right to enter to this place. He signed the papers, then in the end he tells the people, "Oh, I don't know. I signed. Are you a crazy person? Are you sick-minded? Or are you abnormal?" He signed the papers and he knew what he was doing about. But the question is here. Where is the money? Tell him to say the truth.
What worries you about this deal?
About this deal, I worry about one thing, that if they will take that land, it means all the Armenian quarter will go little by little, little by little, because they are near to us, they are living in the quarter.
The Jewish quarter is right next to where we are now.
Exactly. That's why that worries me. Where do you want me to go? I wouldn't go nowhere. I lived here and I will die in this country. No.
This is the documentary from the BBC World Service.
This podcast is brought to you by Wise, the app that makes using different currencies easy. With Wise, you can send and spend money worldwide at the real-time mid-market exchange rate. There are no hidden fees either. See exactly what you'll pay up front, every time. Join 16 million customers already saving with Wise. To learn how Wise could work for you, download the app or visit wise.com.
You've heard of Charlie Chaplin, right? Well, Charlie Chaplin was my grandfather, and there was a time when he was the biggest star in all the world. But something happened, not just to him, but to hundreds of artists in Hollywood. They were forced to leave, forced out.
All episodes of Hollywood Exiles from the BBC World Service and CBC are available now. Search for Hollywood Exiles wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Emily Wither on assignment in Jerusalem.
When you walk through the Old City, you're at the heart of the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. In the 1967 war between Israel and a coalition of Arab states, Israel seized East Jerusalem, including the Old City and its holy sites. But Palestinians want East Jerusalem to be the capital of their longed-for state, while Jewish Israelis see the whole city as their eternal undivided capital. It's the biggest hurdle when discussing peace here.
Daniel, it looks like your feet are really sore.
Yes, I do a lot of touring with potential donors and investors and people that want to understand the battle for Jerusalem.
As you can hear from his accent, Daniel Lauria was brought up in Australia in a religious Jewish family. He's from a group called Eteret Kohanim, which helps Jews buy properties in what he calls the Holy Basin, including the territories taken in the 1967 war and occupied since. He makes no secret of the fact that he's trying to extend a Jewish presence across the Old City.
Life and the strengthening of Jewish roots inside what I call the pumping station of the Jewish world.
As you can imagine, Daniel's views are far from universally accepted, and Jewish settlements are considered illegal under international law.
We basically are involved in the return of Jewish life to that heart of Jerusalem. Now, we're not stupid. We know that it has ramifications because part of the world refers to the heart of Jerusalem, from our perspective, as parts of East Jerusalem that I will not recognise and never recognise. There is a Jerusalem that belongs to the Jewish people. We are the indigenous people of this region, definitely of Jerusalem, the only people with a true connection dating back 3,800 years. And we obviously have rights to be able to live everywhere and anywhere. So this organisation facilitates that.
Ataret Kohanim is often described as a right-wing Jewish settler group, and Daniel's version of history is contested. The Armenians we've been hearing from have suspicions that Ataret Kohanim is behind the Cow's Garden deal. Daniel proudly shows us a large building they've acquired in the Christian quarter.
We are adjacent to the Holy Sepulchre, which is, say, the number one place for the Christian world.
Jews now live in this, building in the Christian quarter.
Jews live in what is today called the Christian and the Muslim quarters. There's 1,000 residents living in this area today.
By moving more Jewish families into the Old City and into East Jerusalem, where will the Palestinians live here go? Where do you want them to go?
No one's being kicked out. Let's understand something. First of all, there's no such thing as East Jerusalem. There are Jews and Arabs, and Muslim Arabs, and Christian Arabs, Armenians, all living in united Jerusalem today. You can't divide East Jerusalem. It's gone. It doesn't exist anymore. No one's being kicked out. It's basically real estate. There's room for everyone, so long as you accept the Jewish state. We're not prepared to accept anyone that doesn't.
Daniel admits these transactions often have to happen secretly, because he says the Palestinians who sell properties to Jews are considered traitors.
No one is being cheated. Arabs approach the organisation, they want to sell, but they have to be careful. So whether you move them overseas or pretend court cases or middlemen or don't move in for a few years, there are a number of different things that one could do to protect the Arab. And even if the organisation sometimes doesn't look good, that's the price we have to pay sometimes to protect the Arab sellers and the middlemen.
So it is transparent. People do realise who they're selling to. There's no trickery.
2,000%.
Some sales, though, do end up in the courts. Ataret Kohanim has been accused of using dishonest and illegal methods. I asked Daniel if his group was behind the Cow's Garden deal.
No connection whatsoever. We happened to meet the person who was behind it. Just happened to bump into him and meet him at some place, and someone took a picture. And there are a lot of conspiracies and theories.
There's pictures of you meeting Exana Gardens, the company behind the deal, in a hotel.
There was one picture that was taken in some hotel. We met the gentleman involved. This deal has zero.
What did you guys?
Nothing to do.
What did you guys talk about at the meeting?
Well, I guess if he wanted you to know, he would have invited you, but I guess he didn't. So I.
Was he asking for your advice on how to go about acquiring real estate?
in Jerusalem?
I don't think it would be appropriate for me to discuss what was the topics discussed there. The only thing I will say is that it's very sad how the whole thing has been turned into a nationalistic Jewish thing. I mean, when they found out he was Jewish, that's what upset them, that we have no connection to the individual, to the acquisition. I hope it takes place.
Why? Do you hope it takes place? Because for the Armenians, they feel they're going to lose.
No, they don't.
Up to 25% of their tiny space that they have.
The Armenians don't feel that at all.
They have told us they felt like
they're saying that now because they found out that whoever was behind it was Jewish. For the first 2 years, it was perfectly okay. Why? Because there was going to be millions of dollars invested to convert a car park into a beautiful hotel that would have serviced them.
So this is purely about business. It's a business deal.
It's a business deal, sadly, being tainted with a touch of anti-Semitism, unfortunately.
There are a number of other disputed deals that Daniel's group has been involved in. Wow, it's like a museum in here.
We have 25 stairs, and every piece of stone is history by itself. Memories, you know, it goes back when I was 6 years old in this house.
At the entrance to the Christian Quarter, right by the Jaffa Gate, is an historic hotel whose lease has been acquired by Ataret Kohanim.
This is the family tree, the Dejani family.
Palestinian Abu El-Walid Dejani, a Muslim, grew up in the new imperial. The building is owned by the Greek Orthodox Church. The Dejani family say they have an agreement with the church to run it as a hotel, something that's been passed down the generations. But for two decades, the hotel's been at the center of legal battles. News of that sale to Ataret Kohanim provoked Palestinian anger. The Greek patriarch who signed the deal was dismissed. The Orthodox Church then claimed that crooked and illegal methods were used to persuade the patriarch into selling the building's lease. However, the Supreme Court rejected the church's case to have the original deal re-examined. But in a separate case, Abu Walid is still battling in the courts, this time for what's called his protected tenant status. He says he, his son and grandchild have the right to remain in the hotel. You're looking at a stack of legal papers here, I can see. Yes. At the top of the paper it says it's a lease agreement.
And they paid $1,250,000 for this property for 99 years. Could you imagine a hotel on Jaffa Gate, prime location? Now, lately, on the 29th of May, we have had this court of eviction.
So this is an eviction order?
Yes, they want me out.
This 80-year-old, with smiling eyes, denies his opposition is anti-Semitic.
I'm not against that Jews would buy properties inside those. All right, but do it in a nice way, do it in a good way, do it in a respectful way.
He's vowed to fight on, believing the repercussions go far beyond the walls of his beloved hotel.
You see, this is their dream. Put the yeshiva students here and have this...
The religious Jewish students.
Exactly, and have this in the hands of this radical group. They want to put up a Jewish area on Jaffa Gate, and I'm going to protect it. So their point of view, this is a Jewish area. Well, my point of view is to keep the heritage for the Palestinians, Muslims and Christians on Jaffa Gate until we end our protected tenancy. This means maybe another 70 or 80 years. Their dream is to take over Jerusalem, actually. It's a matter of time for them. They are patient. They have the monies. They have the capabilities of taking more and more buildings in Jerusalem.
For the Armenians, the legal battle over the new imperial hotel offers a glimpse into how long these court cases can take. But is the Armenian dispute part of a bigger struggle within the old city and beyond its walls?
It is indeed. It's important to place what's happening in the Armenian quarter in a much larger context.
I'm talking to Amy Cohen on the new Imperial Hotel's rooftop overlooking the old city.
I am the Director of International Relations for Iramim, and we are an Israeli nonprofit that works towards advancing peace and human rights, and particularly the Jerusalem area. And essentially what we've seen over the years is that there have been increased attempts both by the state, the Israeli government, as well as settler organizations, together often in collusion, to alter the character and the unique identity of this space, which is representative of all of the cultures and all of the identities and religions that are present here and have been here for essentially centuries.
The Jaffa Gate, just by where we are, is a main thoroughfare to walk towards the Jewish quarter. But it's also where the Christian and Armenian quarters meet. Amy argues the aim is to alter the demographics of the area.
Kind of one step at a time, one confiscation of space at a time. And because of the dense population within the Old City, you can't just create these large housing projects and settlements like they do in other spaces in East Jerusalem. And so what is often used is evictions, forced evictions of Palestinians from their homes and settler takeovers of their homes.
So this sounds like it's a battle here that really happens house by house.
It's true, because it's often done in a way where the Israeli government and settler groups can essentially characterize it as a private real estate dispute. It's a private dispute between private entities, but in reality, it's actually a very, very ideologically driven campaign to take over as much space as possible, house by house, land by land, or hotel by hotel, in order to supplant Palestinians with Jewish families or Jewish settlers. Then it's no longer a Palestinian neighborhood. It is a space that has been completely Israelized.
Let's rejoin the Manoogian family at the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, the holiest site for Christians, where Jesus is thought to have been buried. Upstairs, a service is going on in the Armenian chapel. There are young seminarians in red and white gowns, but only a few other worshippers here. The Armenian community, living within the Old City, once tens of thousands strong, is now reduced to around 1,500.
The community is getting smaller and smaller. People choose to leave, looking for other opportunities. Also, because they feel their lives are not safe here, because of political reasons, because there's a war going on now, and we don't know what will happen, and people are afraid, and they are looking out into the future, thinking of other places to go and live in.
This is our job as Christians, as Armenians, to keep our generation living. And if we don't keep ourselves running, we will vanish.
These days, the priests don't just deliver services, but drop off food for the Armenians, like Setrag, who take it in turns to keep watch 24/7 at the car park.
It is sort of an encampment.
Guarding the area with, I can see, one, two, four birds.
Four birds and six fish, no? Yeah, something like that. And fire extinguishers, as you can see. It used to be makeshift, but it's slowly turning into a very well-built area.
A large hut in the corner is now the headquarters of the Armenian Defence of the Cow's Garden. We tried contacting representatives of Zana Gardens, the developers behind the deal, but they didn't respond. Meanwhile, two court cases are pending in Jerusalem's district court. One is filed by the Armenian Patriarch, and the other is a class action lawsuit signed by 400 members of the community, including Setrag.
The Armenian Patriarchate, so the 1600-year-old institution, for the first time in its history, had a communique saying that this is the biggest existential crisis we face today. So we consider this the last battle for Jerusalem, because if the Armenian Quarter falls, if the Cow's Garden falls, the multi-ethnic and multicultural aspect of Jerusalem will be lost. The unique and diverse character of it will be lost. And so we are fighting for Jerusalem.
That's Assignment, presented and produced by me, Emily Wither, with John Murphy. The programme was mixed by Neil Churchill, and the editor of the series is Penny Murphy.
This podcast is brought to you by Wise, the app that makes using different currencies easy. With Wise, you can send and spend money worldwide at the real-time mid-market exchange rate. There are no hidden fees either. See exactly what you'll pay up front, every time. Join 16 million customers already saving with Wise. To learn how Wise could work for you, download the app or visit wise.com.
You've heard of Charlie Chaplin, right? Well, Charlie Chaplin was my grandfather, and there was a time when he was the biggest star in all the world. But something happened, not just to him, but to hundreds of artists in Hollywood. They were forced to leave, forced out.
All episodes of Hollywood Exiles from the BBC World Service and CBC are available now. Search for Hollywood Exiles wherever you get your podcasts.